This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
From KYW News Radio 103.9 FM, this is Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you. Presented by Gift of Life Donor Program. Organ donors save lives.
Hello, I'm Raquel Williams. Welcome to Bridging Philly. It's Women's History Month, and what better way to celebrate than to salute organizations that help shape the social, emotional, and mental well-being of young girls of color in Philadelphia. Evelure House was founded with that in mind, and they've graduated more than 3,000 girls from their programs. We sit down with the founder and one of their graduates.
Girls of color are the fastest growing population in the juvenile justice system.
And speaking of girl power, cruise on into the Girls Auto Clinic Repair Center in Upper Darby. Yes, by design, they cater to women, where you can get your car serviced while getting your nails done.
We want women to feel good about the choices they make with their car. We educate them about how to take care of their car.
All that's coming up on Bridging Philly.
This is Bridging Philly from KYW News Radio 103.9 FM.
We are in the midst of Women's History Month, and we wanted to take a look at area programs that shape our future women leaders. One such program is the Evelure House. Their mission is to help girls to envision a future devoid of disadvantages and filled with possibilities. They strive to help produce strong female leadership in the workforce and in society by investing in young women and girls and their collective well-being and power. Joining us today is founder and executive director Sherilyn Wadlington and former Evelure House student Marmia Day. Welcome to Bridging Philly.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sherilyn, let's start from the very beginning. Talk about how the Evelure House came about.
Well, the Evelure House actually started under the Department of Recreation in Philadelphia. So we started in different areas of the city. We were in South Philly, North Philly, Longcrest, and then it branched off from there because the recreation centers got too dangerous to have programming for young girls. So then that's when we took off and we started Evelure House, and we've been having classes at Pierce College, which is an inspiring environment for the girls to learn.
And Mamiya, talk about your time with the Evelure House. When did you start? How old were you?
Oh my gosh, I was around 16, and I think it was actually KYW that I heard about the program from.
Oh, wow.
Look
at that.
My mom was, she was taking a nap, and she would always listen to the radio, and I came home from school one day, and she was telling me about this program, and I'm like, and you signed me up, right? Like, this is the end of the story, is that you signed me up. And she's like, well, if you want to, I could call them, and it was the last day to get registered. And that night, we went to go to the orientation.
Okay, okay. And how long were you involved?
Oh, the program is, I believe it's 8 weeks. And ever since then, I've come back for like different fundraisers and events and to speak at some of the graduations.
Okay, we'll get into that into some more detail. But first, I want to talk about the fact that there are, Sherilyn, so many programs that exist for shaping young men in this city, young urban men. Why the focus on young girls?
Oh, wow. Because, you know, girls have historically have been like invisible. We had to do it. No one knew how girls were suffering in our community. We're talking about school pushout, sex trafficking. And since the pandemic has gotten so worse, the school to prison pipeline, girls, particularly girls of color, are the fastest growing population in the juvenile justice system. And a lot of them are getting convicted for minor crimes because they're getting convicted and they're actually sex trafficked. So there are a host of issues that our girls are going through, and they're traumatized. So no one ever dealt with them from the perspective of trauma. You know, you hear about a lot of programs who deal with girls, but and we're talking about girls of color,
yeah,
who deal with girls from educate her, get her in STEM. Well, how about heal her? So we come from that perspective because we knew, and the research says, and the data says, like suicide, I could go on and on with the statistics, suicide went up 182%. for young Black teenage girls, you know. Wow. And then years ago, you had statistics like half of the African-American teen girl population was infected with an STD. So that's like half of the teen girl population. So, you know, and of course that affects your reproduction organs and everything. So our girls don't feel good and they need help. And they tell us, they said, look, we need guidance. As much as we think we see girls on social media, you know, dressing half naked or doing things inappropriately, they will tell you we need guidance. And so we're here to help our girls thrive and to do what the school district can't do and won't do and what social services can't do and won't do. So we decided to step up.
Right.
And we particularly target girls of color and low income and backgrounds in high poverty neighborhoods, because those are the ones who face so many issues in school and in life and at home.
Okay. We'll definitely get into things like social media and the uphill battle that we are facing when it comes to raising our girls. I definitely want to talk about that. Evalure, what does that mean and why did you name it that?
Yeah, Evalure, me and my girlfriend were looking for a word that meant to constantly grow and change. The word evolve was already taken. So we said, oh, let's look up what it means in French. And we said, oh, Evalure, that sounds good. And so that's where it comes from.
Okay, that works. You have several programs in place, and I did want to go through a couple of them, mainly the two programs that I was looking at, and that is the personal development workshop that you have and your youth workforce development program. If you can go in and describe both of those.
Yes. So with both of those programs, and since COVID, we had to go online. So we combined both of them, and we call them Evalure Personal and Professional Development Series. So first of all, we had to put a lot of mental health sessions in there. Yeah. And identity, because this is a new generation. We're talking about Generation Z. So when you go online, the issue becomes how do you entertain young girls for 2 hours? Because that's something the school district can't do. And, you know, because the girls tell us the teachers are boring. So we knew we had to get great top educators. And we had to come in there with a Las Vegas act.
Wow.
You know, basically. And, you know, it's entertainment. So, you know, lots of visuals and everything that would attract and keep a girl's attention so she can learn. Yeah. And we've been so successful. We don't have problems with high school dropout. We have a high retention rate, and we can't believe that the girls actually want to come back.
Okay. So the programs, as far as the workforce development programs, describe that a little bit. What exactly is that designed to do?
Yeah, well, it's designed to teach a girl how to go out there and properly get a job and keep a job. And I know everybody must see some kind of dysfunction in the workplace, you know, no matter where you go. You know, like you may see people answering the phones improperly, people going to work like they just rolled out of bed, people not knowing how to handle conflict resolution. And I know it affects the girls we serve because they have a harder time climbing to the top. So we want to make sure that our girls are groomed, smart, and polished, so when they go in there, they can be a competitor and, you know, get that job over the competition. So we really strive to teach the girls not to be just ordinary, but extraordinary.
Yeah. Stand up. Stand
and we
out.
Believe in them and we know they can do it, but it just takes people who care.
Absolutely. Marmia, talk about the programs that you were involved in. Did you go through either one of those programs?
I believe the one I went through was the personal development program. Frankly, it was very life-changing because there are certain things, like when your parent works a lot, they're not necessarily always able to be there to make sure every single I is dotted and every T is crossed when it comes to what you need to know.
Sure.
And then sometimes what can happen is certain things that you need to know, you reach a certain age where it's just assumed that you know it. And that's how you could like fall through the cracks with things. So what I really appreciated about the personal development program was how it didn't matter whether I had a gap or not. I got instruction on it. So we had instruction on like finances. We had instruction on skincare and also how to present ourselves in a business setting. Yes, we had instruction on makeup and stuff like that, but it was also these wide variety of topics of basically how to take care of yourself and how to present yourself the way you want to present it.
And can I just add to also the reason why we stress that they should be polished professionals is because girls of color and particularly black girls are judged differently.
This is very true. This is very true. You know, my daughter actually talks about that a lot when it comes to, you know, what they wear in school and the like. These are great life lessons, actually, that the girls are learning. And it seems like you said, it picks up where the school leaves off and in some cases where home leaves off. And Mormia, in your case, your mom heard about the program and realized that this is something that you could actually benefit from. So this was a case where she's working a lot. There's a lot going on, but she also still wanted you to have that extra guidance and that extra knowledge from an outside source to kind of help you along.
Yes, like I always say, if the Evelore program was a college class, I would jump over a banister to sign up.
Wow. Sherilyn, did these programs fill up pretty fast, I'm assuming?
They do. They do. And we keep a waiting list. So most organizations like ours, we're a Black-led organization. We're pretty underfunded. So sometimes we have to turn away girls. Our programs are free for girls who are from low-income backgrounds. And we also have scholarships for other girls. So we have to raise that money.
Got it. And you cater to the entire Philadelphia area and in South Jersey as well.
Well, actually, we went national after the pandemic. Wow. When we went online, girls started contacting us from Texas, Arizona, from all across the United States. Then we had our first international student last year from Liberia.
Bridging Philly continues in a moment. Back to Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you.
I saw that you've received so many accolades. L'Oreal, of course, for example. Sherilyn, you were one of 10 women in the nation selected by the White House as a champion for change for your leadership and work in extracurricular enrichment for marginalized girls of color. Also, the Evelore House was recognized by President Obama for then 11 years of service to young girls. That is impressive.
I'm impressed myself. But we work hard, and I always say whatever the atmosphere or culture of the company is starts at the top. So if I'm at the top, I'm going to make sure that we stick to that model of excellence. And she can tell you it's hard. We check the girls at every state, you know, particularly if they have to come out with us, you know, if they don't look right, they got to go home. You know, and because we're saying not only are you representing your mom, you're representing us. So, you know, we're hard on them.
Okay.
Yeah. So because I saw one girl wearing bedroom slippers to school and I said, did you wear them to school? I said, does your teacher let you do that? And she said, yeah. So that was unbelievable to me. Yeah, they do that.
Yeah. Sometimes they wear pajamas, too. Yeah. I don't allow that myself. But Mormia, talk about that tough love that you got from Evelore House.
For me, I didn't see it as tough love simply because, like, at that point, I wanted to be different and I wanted to be better. So I tried as much as I could to just absorb everything that was being told to me and shown to me. But it was hard. For today, for example, I had the wrong shade of lipstick on. I stopped by Miss Charles before we came here just to have that final, like, run through and make sure everything's copacetic. Okay. She was like, you're going to have to change that.
No, what color was it? What color? Because this looks good. This looks good, what you're wearing.
It was very bright red.
Okay.
It was neon red.
Okay.
And can I tell you, one thing we stress to the girls is say, there's a certain way you dress in your personal life, and there's a certain way you dress around your friends. So you have to distinguish the two.
You know, those values, they're starting to kind of go by the wayside as people are kind of like, look, come as you are, green hair, yellow hair. And I'm not saying it's wrong to present that way. But what I'm saying is those standards where our moms used to tell us to wear certain things and you have to wear the certain color, you know, if you're going to work and the slip. Okay, let's not get into that.
Yeah, the slip and pantyhose.
Slip and pantyhose, right?
Yeah. And well, I can tell you at Evelore, we think that's a problem because it's minimizing our girls' growth, you know, because we want our girls to be able to go into any kind of situation. Like, what if they have to represent us at the White House? You know, we don't want them to think that they can go in a track suit. And, you know, not have their hair freshly styled and their nails done. And we tell them, if you want to rise up in the world, you know, you have to know how to present yourself to the world.
Yeah.
And I said, and if you go presenting yourself like $2, that's all you're going to get. It's $2.
Know your worth. And then, raise your price. Is that when you're at it. Who's eligible to participate in Evelyn House?
Yes. So girls of color, ages 13 to 18.
Okay.
That's our target audience.
Okay. And what exactly does it mean to be a change agent in the community? And why is it important for girls to evolve into that role?
Well, we need a lot of change agents right about now. And one thing that we find that young people really aren't into is philanthropy, giving back, helping each others, and particularly the whole idea of women helping women, because, you know, a lot of girls think that, you know, the whole jealousy thing, I'm not going to help her, or it's so competitive. Mm-hmm. So we're breaking that cycle, and we're letting girls know that when you come into this program, this is your Evelyn sister, you have 50 or something sisters. I said, isn't that a wonderful thing? And so these girls become so close. And so their whole mission is, once they learn, to pay it forward, give it back, and help another girl come up and give her just the kind of grooming that she received.
Maria, what have you been doing since you left school and left the Evelyn House?
Oh, well, I'm in college now. I've been going for my dual degree in nanoscience and engineering.
Okay, very good. Where are you going to school?
RAC, Reading Area Community College. Okay. It's like an hour or so outside of Philly.
Okay.
Everybody keeps asking me, why are you going all the way out there? And I'm like, look, when Philadelphia Community College gets a nanoscience program, I will go.
There you go. There you go. And have the values that were instilled in you during your time at the Evelyn House, have you been able to implement them into your life, what you've been doing thus far?
Oh my gosh, every day. Like whenever I'm doing anything, I fall back onto that training and that background that I was given. Like whether it's going to like an honors event and knowing like, okay, this is how I want to present myself, this is the way I want to converse with people, that sort of thing. Or even if it's just, this is how I would like to show up to this class where this teacher doesn't like me.
Understand. Okay. Parents, teachers, your group, myself, the village in general, as I mentioned earlier, we're all fighting this uphill battle when it comes to raising our girls. Pop culture and social media doing a number on their self-esteem. And that's something, Sherilyn, that you and I didn't have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy for the girls to kind of navigate that whole space. How do you meet them where they are and deal with that?
That's what everyone asks me. And I think it's because I had no-nonsense mentors. And we're going on 20 years. This is our 20th year anniversary. So No one has really talked about the issue with Black girls that maybe we didn't pay attention to because maybe our mothers kept us busy. But that whole trauma situation didn't go away. We have ancestral trauma, racial trauma. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, we graduated high school and we kept moving on. But honestly, from, you know, all the research we've done and the experts that we have on board on our advisory, I wonder if we were able to achieve our personal best, you know, if we had healed from just like the ancestral trauma, racial trauma and things like that.
Right.
So with this generation, we know our girls are not well. So we come from that perspective. And once you deal, you know, what we're finding with the heart and the soul, and some of the things that the girls say, and like Marmia herself, like when she says her speeches, it's just unbelievable of the breakthrough that they have. And they know they're being treated differently. That's another thing. So these are issues that no one ever talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they have affected our girls according to every piece of research that we've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marmia, if you want to talk a little bit about that, you know, how you were able and still are able to navigate that whole world of social media, being compared to other people, comparing yourself to other people, so on and so forth. How do you navigate that?
Oh, I have it a lot easier because I'm more millennial than Gen Z. So I managed to do a lot of my growing before social media became so pervasive.
Okay.
But even back then, it's difficult. That's why I think programs like the Evelyn House are so important. If you don't really have that strong feeling inside yourself of, I am worth it, I am enough, it can be very easy for anybody to tell you that you aren't.
Yeah.
And there are different ways to get that. Some are harder than others. Like, I know some people that got there through blood and fire. But there's also, like, programs with the Evelyn House where they're like, look, you are brilliant, you are amazing, you are enough. And also, here are the tools to get you to be able to show other people what we already see.
Yeah.
The program isn't about, like, completely changing a person or molding somebody into what they're not. I like to say it's like you take like a rock and you polish it, and there's quartz underneath. Mm. It's working with what you already have.
Yeah.
And it's that that's going to be so important for girls going forward, is to have that surety and that self-love and that confidence in who and what they are. And that translates into being able to reject some of the messages that we get through social media.
Yeah.
But I didn't answer your question. You said, how do you handle the girls with social media? So we have a media literacy class. So the girls actually get to see pictures of the celebrities and, you know, different people that they admire. And they get to see what they look like without makeup and what was retouched. And then they, you know, get to see the new picture. They even made up a survey. And they said the question was, who is the celebrity that most girls want to look like? You know, because the class we were talking about self-esteem and social media.
Yeah.
So, of course, can you guess who they said? You know who they said. Beyonce.
Beyonce.
So I said, why do you want to be Beyonce? They said that's because the guys like light-skinned girls with blonde hair and big butts. Mm-hmm. And so 98% of our girls said this. So I said, well, don't you like J-Lo? And they said, nah.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Hmm. So when you talk about social media, we show them what is real and what is fake, you know. And we talk about people with no faces, you know, on social media and how, you know, there's a lot of people pretending to be something that they're not.
Yeah.
And to be careful. And they also have a cyber safety and etiquette class as well.
Great.
Which helps them keep themselves safe from predators.
Right.
Because I can tell you, we did see some of our girls were on social media lying about their age. They were saying they were 18 and they were up there trying to date older guys. You know, we found out about it. But this is stuff that happens. This is real.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't know what they're getting themselves into.
No.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little bit, Cheryl Ann. How successful have your programs been? And actually, how do you measure your success?
Well, we have all kinds of measurements in terms of we have 100% of our girls graduate high school on time and attend a four-year college. They're going to Ivy League colleges like University of Pennsylvania, Fordham, Barnard College. Half of them go to college on full scholarships.
Right.
And so they're coming out debt-free. So that's part of our success, and that's our main mission, is to make sure they go to school and graduate on time, go to a four-year college, and that we help break the cycle of intergenerational poverty, because Philadelphia is still number one in high poverty cities of the metropolitan cities. So I think we're doing a good thing. So far, we've graduated over 3,000 young women. So these are girls who now have a fighting chance at life to be successful and to reach their dreams.
It's no wonder, actually, Cheryl Ann, that you're doing the work that you do, as you grew up in a family full of activists.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. And
Ooh.
Would you say that you chose this work, or did this work choose you?
Well, it's a combination, because for kids, if you grow up seeing things, you know, you're going to kind of emulate it. So my mom was an activist, and she was very no-nonsense. And actually, my mom opened up our home to people who were dying of AIDS and when they were at their last stage.
Yeah.
And so they could die in dignity. And I remember when I was coming home from college, I would see ambulances outside of our house. And these people were being wheeled in white sheets wrapped around them with like all kinds of cancer. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth, kind of cancer sores on their face. And at that time, this was at the height of the HIV situation in Philly. But a lot of babies and people, particularly black people, were dying and no one was doing anything about it. And so my brother, he was an activist as well. He was, him along with Dr. Rashida Hassan, helped found Babashi, which is, you know, blacks educating blacks yes. about sexual health issues. So they were the first. I used to watch him sitting on a floor with a telephone and a raggedy chair, trying to get funding to help save black people who were dying, you know, and he said they were burying them in those, I guess they call them potter's graves, you know, because yes. they didn't have any money. So it was just a sad time. So my mother opened up our home for the March and Dives drop off. And actually, I remember, too, where she helped get a school built in our area so the black kids wouldn't have to go and walk through dangerous areas to get to school. I remember she got all the women in the neighborhood to put their baby coaches in the middle of the street and block the traffic so no buses could get through or anything. And eventually they got that school built, and it was Ad B. Anderson School on Cosgrove Parkway. Wow. Yeah, I went there. So I got to see all that. So I think for me coming out of the international fashion industry, which was my background, and I graduated from FIT in New York. So, you know, I went on to be like a top fashion editor for all the magazines. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to see me go from the world of glamour to devastation, it's interesting. But I think, like they say, all roads lead home. So I went back home. I'm back home.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you also, I think I read that you said that you were a troubled child, quote unquote.
Oh, yeah. I was bad. I was gangster.
Oh, I can't believe it. I cannot imagine it.
Yeah, you see me now, right?
And right.
This is, well, I went to etiquette school, you know, and it was so interesting because, you know, back then they had etiquette schools.
Right.
And so when all the other girls graduated, I had to stay for 3 years. Like, it was a 6-month course. Like, my mother sent me back. She said, you're still rough. And so I also went to reform school because I was just so bad. I used to fight like I was in the army. But that came from losing my dad. I lost my dad when I was in sixth grade. And every girl will know the daddies are just everything to a young girl. So my mother didn't believe in therapy. You know, she was a Christian woman. So, you know, God can heal everything.
Right, yes.
So she took me to church, you know, so I can get anointed. But it didn't change my behavior.
Right.
And so, you know, I had got kicked out of junior high, high school. Yeah. And I can't, you know, believe that I made it. But what happened, it was women and men in the neighborhood. One of my mentors was the late David P. Richardson, the state representative. They put their arms around me and they said, you are going to be somebody. And it was so strange because at first I couldn't even get into college. I tried to go to a college. It was a fashion college. And they said, we don't accept girls like you. Mm. And so I had to go to community and I got my grades up to 3.5 the first semester. So I'm like a lot of other kids. We're smart, but we may have some issues that need to be dealt with. So that was my situation.
Yeah.
And so I always said, you know, if I can do it, I can give this back to other girls to help them to rise up and to really be successful because I know I was a piece of work.
Well, I could see that you are having success with what you're doing. And, you know, those affirming words to hear from someone that is a mentor, that you are enough, that you are going to be someone, and to boost your confidence. And I heard that in you, Mamia, when you were talking about that. That's something that young girls need to hear. I know myself as my 54-year-old self, if I could talk to my, you know, younger self, those are the things that I would tell myself. So it's great that you already have that in you, and you had that in you instilled at a young age, and that this is what Evelure House is all about.
Mm-hmm. Because we know we live in a society that often tears us down.
Yes.
So you have to have an extra boost. And so Evelure House is that boost to help you to rise above your circumstance.
Maria, if you could, in some closing remarks, talk about, you know, for girls that are maybe the parents have them on a waiting list or what have you, or they're hesitating or don't want to be in the program, you know, what would you tell them as far as your experiences, how you're, you know, plugging it into your everyday life and what you're doing? Why is this an important experience for a young girl in an urban city like Philadelphia to go through?
There is a line of people around the block that are ready to tell your child that they are not enough. There is hundreds of thousands of people online that are ready to tell your child that she is too old, too young, too ugly, too black, too this, too that. And you cannot fight every single one of them. if I could fight every single one of them, like sometimes I see my little niece's DMs and I'm like, they said, what to you?
Right.
But no, I can't fight every one of them. But what you can do is you can make sure that they have the tools that they need to where that don't matter.
Yeah.
I'll be on Instagram and yes, I'll have my moments where I'm like, dang, her stomach is so flat. It's just so flat. And then I keep it moving and I keep it going.
Right.
It doesn't stick with me through the day. It's not keeping me up at night. It's not enough to make me go to the gym. I wish it was, but it's not.
Right.
And that comes from having that inner confidence and that inner security. And I can't say, oh, your child will never get that inner security another way. But what I can say is, at least for me, this program gave that to me. And that's something beyond the financial lessons, beyond the skincare and the healthcare and the makeup and the, this is how you comport yourself at work. Beyond all of that, the one part that I use every single day is that little teeny vaccination against the haters.
Mm, I like that. Vaccination against the haters. Mm-hmm. Sherilyn, if the other girls in the program are anything like Marmia, then you definitely have something extremely successful on your hands.
Thank you. And can I tell you, we teach our girls to be strong. Mm-hmm. We have some strong girls that I'm proud of. And I also wanted to let you know that registration opens for the summer in mid-April. So anyone who's interested can go to our website, parents who want to register their teen. So it's either for the Youth Workforce Development Program or the Personal Development Program or the podcast program, which that one is ending, but that will open. And in that podcast program, it's an 8-week program where girls learn how to create a podcast and they learn how to monetize it.
Excellent. Excellent. And how do people get that information? Where do we go?
Yes. The website is evalorehouse.org, or they can call 215-592-8988.
All right.
And if anybody wants to check out the podcast that the girls have been doing, it's the Girl Truth Podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all those.
Okay, I'm going to have to definitely check out that podcast. Any subjects that are off the table in that podcast, or you delve into everything?
Oof.
It's by girls and the issues that are important to them. I could tell you one topic where they were talking about what it's like to be Black and queer and on the autism spectrum.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely going to subscribe to that podcast. All right. Founder and executive director of Evalor House, Cheryl Ann Wadlington, and former Evalor House student, Marmia Day, who is a success right now in her own right and will continue to do so. Thank you so much for joining us in Bridging Philly.
Thank you
for having us.
Bridging Philly continues in a moment. Back to Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you.
Welcome back to Bridging Philly. The mechanics at the Girls Auto Clinic in Upper Darby are not afraid to get their hands dirty. They hire and train female mechanics and cater to women in this non-traditional occupation. Let's learn more with Shara in the City.
The destination is on your right.
Arrive.
Girls Auto Clinic.
Oh, gosh. All right. The first thing you see when you roll up to the Girls Auto Clinic is a huge red high heel. What are we in for? All right. Now I'm excited. Let's do this. Let's go inside.
Hi, welcome to Girls Auto Clinic. How can I help you today?
Well, hey there. Yes, I'd like an oil change, but you have to tell me what is going on with that huge red high heel. There's got to be something to it.
It's so hilarious. We love it. So what we are is auto repair catered to women.
Okay, now things are starting to come together. That makes sense.
My name is Patrice Banks. I'm the owner of Girls Auto Clinic. I'm a CEO and founder also of Girls Auto Clinic and the Chicanic brand here in Upper Darby, right outside of Philly. And we're an auto repair service that caters to women. We hire and train female mechanics. There's a nail salon here so you can get your nails done while you wait for your car. And really, we're all about women's empowerment. We want women to feel good about the choices they make with their car. We educate them about how to take care of their car and how to avoid expensive repairs. And we just give them a really comfortable space to come feel welcomed.
So fast forward, we had to take a tour. I needed to see it for myself.
This is one of our lounges. You can hang out by the love seat, read a book. Mm-hmm. If you've got work to do, you open your laptop and you can work here from this standing desk or sitting. Okay. Yes, coffee and tea, water and refreshments are complimentary for all customers.
Okay.
Our Wi-Fi is free and open. Mm-hmm. And then this is the nail salon, so you get your nails done on the date. And every customer gets a free manicure with their service each time
really?
They come. Yes.
Yes, really. So that is Kimberly. This is her first time at the Auto Clinic. Her mind was blown.
Yeah, one-stop shop. It definitely is. And I just got a manicure here, my free cash-in manicure. In this economy, that's a steal. And you can watch the TV. I'm catching up on Love is Blind while I wait. So I feel like, yeah, there's ways to kill time, and service has been exceptional.
Okay, now speaking of service, you get your car serviced, maybe you have a few snacks, you take a minute to catch up on your TV, but that's not it. Patrice also gives you tips on how to maintain your car. She gave me a few.
There's absolutely things that you can do yourself and that you should know yourself. And so one of the things you want to know is, like, where is your oil? You want to be able to check your oil, and when you want to check your oil is if you have an oil leak or if you're going on a road trip for longer than, I'd say, 100 miles. That's when you absolutely want to check your oil yourself. Every car will leak oil eventually, just so you know.
But you didn't start off a mechanic. You were actually an engineer. How did you even get here?
Well, you know, I called myself an auto airhead. What I mean by that is I hated my automotive experiences. I waited to the last minute to do my oil changes, right? I would panic anytime I'd hear a noise or a light would come on, and I always thought I needed a guy to help me. This is the story I was telling myself. I was very empowered, I thought, as an engineer, as a black woman engineer with a company like DuPont. I'd been there for 12 years. I had owned my own house. Like, you couldn't tell me anything. I thought, I don't need a man. Actually, I did need a man when it came to my car, right? I didn't feel empowered in that space. So I went out looking for empowerment. I wasn't even trying to be a mechanic. I was looking for a woman mechanic. And since I couldn't find one, that's when I enrolled and went back to school to be a technician. And I was actually going to school at night while I was working during the day as an engineer.
That's amazing. It kind of seems like it all just kind of came together for you.
Yes.
So okay, we're hitting a green right now. We're going to go.
Yes,
we're going to go get our nails done. Where are we going? Where can I get my nails done?
Okay. Well, so we're in the shop right now. We're going to head over to the lounge and the salon, which is, you know, the place that women really come for. That's the cherry on top, is that you can get your nails done while you
it's
wait for your car.
It's a twofer.
Yes.
I also learned how to change my oil. Oh, boy. My brain, it's a little full right now.
This is our TV room and kids' play area. So we got a TV here and with all the streaming channels that they offer, so you can catch
luxury.
Up on all your shows. Yes. This is another lounge area where customers can come. They can hang out in the love seat and read a book. We also have a work area to pull out your laptop and work.
Wow, this is
complimentary
beautiful.
Snacks.
Do I get snacks? There's couches, there's pillows.
And water while you're waiting. Again, we want women to really feel comfortable.
So this is the salon?
This is the salon. We call the salon Clutch Beauty Bar. And you can get manis, pedis, waxing, and facials here. And every customer gets a free manicure with their service.
So wait, you're telling me this is a one-stop shop? Because I'm getting my nails done. I'm going to get some snacks.
Absolutely. Now you're looking forward to getting your oil changed, right? Tell me who looks forward to that. Nobody did before. But if you know that you can get your nails done while you're doing it, sign me up. I'm there.
Ah, that was exhilarating. So again, the Girls Auto Clinic right outside of Philly on Westchester Pike in Upper Darby, where you can get an oil change and a mani-pedi. Go check them out.
Thanks for joining us on Bridging Philly, brought to you by Gift of Life Donor Program. Register as an organ donor at donorsone.org. That's donors, the number one, .org. For Charity Howard and our producer, Patty McMahon, I'm Raquel Williams. Be well.